Good morning. So for those who don't know me, as Chris said earlier, I'm Becky Davis and I'm training to be a licensed lay minister with the Diocese of Ely. And I'm linked to here at St Mary's and also Christchurch down the road. I'm also a teacher in a school for children and young people with special educational needs. Today I'll be talking briefly about the feeding of the 5,000 and one of the messages that speaks to me through that gospel story. But first, just if you could just join me in a brief prayer. God, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So in today's gospel reading, we heard the words of John as he spoke to new Christians and searching non-Christians, and of course us. John tells us that he recorded Jesus' signs and miracles for us, so that we can believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle story, other than the resurrection, that's found in all four Gospels. Perhaps that's just a coincidence. Perhaps each of the Gospel writers just thought it was a great story to share. But perhaps the messages in the story are not just the helpful ones, but the essential ones for us to hear. In the chapters prior to today's, we read that the 12 disciples had been sent out to experience ministry themselves with the power and authority given to them by Jesus. And they had been sent out to perform miracles and proclaim the kingdom of God, and they had accomplished their mission and now returned. And today, we meet Jesus after he'd ministered to a very, very large crowd, a crowd that included 5,000 men, plus however many women and children were there with them, because the women and children weren't important enough to have been included in that count. And it's thought that for every man, it's likely that there'd have been four or five women or children with him. So we can multiply that 5,000 four or five times. Jesus had been doing the same thing that he sent his disciples out to do, healing and proclaiming the kingdom of God, and the day is coming to an end. In some versions of the story, the disciples, being practical, suggest that Jesus send the crowd away so they can find their own food, but Jesus responds by telling the disciples, "No, we're going to do this." And we can imagine what those disciples must have been thinking. There's way too many people here to feed. It's impossible. But what they've forgotten is that on their recent mission, they have been doing the impossible. Jesus invites Philip to offer a human solution to the problem of feeding the crowd gathered there. And Philip points out that it would cost much more money than any of them has got, over 8 months' wages for a labourer. Jesus still remains calm. He doesn't need a worldly solution. The disciples aren't actually expected to feed the crowd in their own power. But the conversation highlights just how powerful and miraculous an act Jesus is about to perform. Andrew notices a boy who is willing to give 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. Perhaps the disciples want to laugh or feel a bit exasperated, because such a small gift is not going to help solve their problem. But Jesus takes what was innocently given, prays his thanks to God, and miraculously the crowd are fed. And not only are they all fed, but over 12 baskets of leftovers are collected. Just as Jesus took the boy's little, gave thanks, and used it for good, God can take what little we have, our time, our money, our abilities, our gifts, our wisdom or knowledge, our capacity to love, and multiply its effectiveness beyond our wildest expectations. If we take the first step towards God, then he can use us to advance the work of his kingdom. We can bear fruit, whoever we are. Remember, the small boy was not even part of the population deemed worthy of counting. But God isn't interested in our worldly status. Whoever we are, our limited resources plus Jesus equals more than enough. When we pray, "Thy will be done," with our whole heart full of willingness, it's a little like signing a spiritual donor card. And a bit like someone donating blood, sometimes we get to give something, but we'll never really know or understand the profound effect of our giving. Jesus meets us, our children, where we are, and knows and understands our needs even better than we know them ourselves. And when his children offer themselves to him to use, he can direct them and use them regardless of weaknesses, with or without their knowledge. But when we presume to know what is and what is not possible and let those presumptions stop us from doing what we can, we're effectively saying, "My will be done, not thine." But that unnamed boy was willing to entrust the little that he had to Jesus, who then took what the boy offered in faith and used it to accomplish one of the most spectacular miracles. Now in here, surrounded by the safety of the walls of our beautiful church, and surrounded by other Christians who I class as my friends, this doesn't sound so difficult. But I know that personally, when I'm out there on the rock face and I get hit with an attack of not enoughness, it can be hard to stop scrabbling around for my own feeble worldly solutions and hand the challenges I face over to God. One day like this was last Tuesday, which was the last day of school, and quite frankly, I felt completely done in. The long summer term, the paperwork, organising a prom, writing reports, parents' evenings, tired and overexcited teenagers, transferring to our new class groups, new timetables, searching for missing wellies and PE kits. My brain was in danger of seizing up altogether. And more to the point, it was too blooming hot. Seeing how much of a danger zone our usually friendly staff room had become, with tempers flaring, I could see why the staff on the London Underground felt the need to use funny signage to keep staff and commuters in good humour down in those hot and crowded tunnels. One sign that I read from Covent Garden Underground station read, "Please carry a bottle of water with you at all times. You can use it to beat yourself to death when the heat becomes too much. And there is a high possibility most passengers will smell like prawns that were abandoned in an alleyway 6 months ago." Now, we could have done with the same signs in the school hall that afternoon. Every single pupil, teacher, assistant, caretaker, and office worker wedged themselves in for the final assembly, where we were going to say goodbye to our head teacher, who was retiring after being at the school since it opened 12 years ago. And it was a strained mood in there. None of the usual joy and rapture of end of term. Carol's been a strong leader in our school community and will be very, very missed. The air around me became almost chewy, with a distinct and cloying odour of unwashed teen. My legs stuck to the plastic seat and my stomach turned and my head pounded, but I was doing my best. I'm sorry to say that at this point, my best just meant praying, "Please God, just get me through this blasted assembly," or something a bit like that. And I'm not proud to admit that in the emotionally charged heat, smells and noise, I wasn't feeling at my most gracious. And just when I thought I might take up the advice of the London Underground sign and beat myself to death with my water bottle, something happened that tilted my experience of the moment, and I got to see it from a different angle. A tiny little boy down there, who I'd never seen before, climbed onto my lap facing me. He looked into my eyes, took each of my arms and placed them around him, and then leaned forward and hugged me. His cheek pressed against mine, his long eyelashes fluttering against my hot and bothered face. And I paused and remembered. I remembered why my school is special, and why it will continue to be special, even after Carol's gone, much as she'll be missed. It's because the school that she set up runs like a watermill on a river of love. And because we are a real community, the love doesn't only come from the staff. It also comes from the pupils. Even the smallest, newest 4-year-old with special needs who can't even speak and has nothing to give apart from his hug. And in that moment, the smells and the noise and the heat were all still there, but they didn't matter. I remembered that I'm blessed to serve God in my work, and that God looks after my needs even when I don't know what they are. I don't get to change the world, but I do get to help some amazing people and make a difference in their world. What a privilege. It's all too easy to remove ourselves from that powerful flow of grace and shut ourselves off, just to flounder in our own little puddle of resources. Unwilling to give, unwilling to receive. And how easily, in a moment of pressure or weariness, we can despair. Forgetting that when we have prayed about seemingly impossible situations in the past, somehow with God's help, they've eventually come right, despite our own lack of resources and the things that we're powerless over. That story of the feeding of the 5,000 can help us to understand and accept that even when we can't control or solve problems or challenges on our resources alone, God can do what we cannot, and his love, grace, and mercy will take the little we bring and provide. Because with God, there's always more available than what we bring to the table. Will you just join me in prayer? Father God, we come to you in our poverty with what can feel like so little. We see war and violence, injustice, abuse, neglect in news reports that we can only pray about, or perhaps sign a petition, or tactically put a cross on a voting slip. We see homeless people in our cities, and all we can give is a smile and some change, or perhaps a sandwich and a chat. And there are so, so many of them, God. For every one of them we help, there are hundreds of others that we can't. So often, none of what we can do or give feels like enough. So we ask you to take our pitiful donations and add them to your provision and to the offering, skills and love of others, and make it enough. Please, Lord, make it enough. Make us enough. In the name of Jesus, Prince of Peace, Protector of the weak, and Feeder of the hungry. Amen.